So we're talking about this activity that is a model for so much in the nervous system and then in complex systems, and this is threshold. So the review of it is that, you know, a system that is what we call metastable, or it's at some kind of homeostasis, resting state, it can receive charge and fluctuate within a range of charge, but still stay more or less in its state. But when the charge increases past a specific amount, it rapidly increases from, like, it hits, it triggers a rapid burst of activation, hits a threshold that is organic or autonomic, and then it fully releases from there. All the energy drains away, right? Something tips over, it hovers at the balance point of tipping, and if it doesn't tip, then it kind of just, nothing happens. It hovers at the balance point. If it gets that tiniest bit more, boom, it tips. So this is a characteristic of complex systems. Please.
So in the idea of, like, the Tao, where it's like, you know, you're seated at the table, you're lying on your back on the floor, somewhere in between you pass over the Tao.
The Tao.
The Tao, like the middle, like the balance, like the place of perfect balance. This doesn't seem like that, though.
I wouldn't call that place in the middle the place of perfect balance.
Okay.
It's an example of a tipping point where it's not actually balanced because it's unstable. You're not going to float there. And if you are a circus acrobat, you might get good at oscillating around that point. So, you know, if you get good at balancing, and of course balance is exactly this. If you get good at balancing in yoga, what you notice, of course, is that balance is not a fit, is not a state, but it's a process of balancing. Mm. You're always rebalancing. Mm. The flip side of that is you're always falling. Mm.
Right.
And what you're doing is you're falling and unfalling in a rhythmic, well-regulated way. Mm-hmm. And the thing that happens to make you fall is that you either lose mindfulness, mm-hmm. or you were stirred up in such a way that you were unable actually to maintain whatever window of oscillation is necessary for balance.
Got it.
So I think the resting point that the Tao is referring to is, in relation to tipping point, would be more like the state of things being at ease within a range of oscillation that is organic. So that you're actually passing over that point all the time. No one rests there.
Right.
You're passing over that point all the time, but you're comfortable in it. So, you know, one of the places that we see this often in, say, healing work is in relation to something like processing emotion. You know, let's say there's some anger going on. You're a little mad at something. You're frustrated with your partner, or you're frustrated with the, you know, whatever you're frustrated with. And a couple things can happen. One thing that can happen if you're not really addressing it, or you're not engaging with it, is that it can kind of simmer. I'll use the boiling metaphor again, right? Right. Boiling is it's a gradual process to get up to boiling, but the transition from non-boiling to boiling is a point, and it's a measurable point, right? That the state of the liquid shifts. In the same way, if I'm like simmering in anger, right? It has the tendency to go on for a long time. 10, 20 years, depending on what you do with your life, you know, how bitter you're going to get. It can simmer a lot. But in order for it to change state, let's say to dissolve into a gas and release into the atmosphere, it has to boil. And now you don't want to burn anyone with boiling water, so you want to do this within controlled circumstances, right? So it's not about like, oh, you're angry, let's get you angrier. But it is actually about, oh, you're trying to process anger, you have to hit threshold. And the threshold will be something like the amount of energy of emotional energy, of force, that your system needs in essentially to really get or integrate or metabolize or process the force that's moving through you. And what all of those synonyms mean, get, metabolize, integrate, from the nervous system map that we talked about yesterday, would be, if you remember the sympathetic nervous system, it activates as a gesture of self-protection, meaning it's trying to succeed at self-protection. It's muscular, blood flow in the muscles, increased heart rate, increased breath, and the fight side of that, out of the fight-flight, is the anger side. So anger is the fight spectrum. It's trying to defend itself somehow, or trying to defend whatever it's trying to defend. And what the nervous system wants is to succeed, which means to restore safety. So if I'm simmering in anger, and let me tell you, I know nothing about that, but if I did, I would tell you in some detail that this is what it feels like. I know something is wrong, and I even know what's wrong, kind of, but I don't really feel like I can do anything about it. That's the freeze aspect. But I'm just kind of mad. But I'm not even really mad because I've been trained not to be mad, so I'm just kind of grumpy. But actually, I've even been trained not to express grumpiness because I get excluded from love if I express grumpiness. So actually, I'm just shut down. But I just don't like anything. And of course, I've learned to express that dislike in a kind of intellectually superior way because I'm an artist. And so I actually know that, you know, that's just not a very well-chosen wall color. And if everyone else knew as much about aesthetics as I do, they would know that. But because they don't, I'm just going to quietly hate it over here and go through my entire life like that. Right? I'm not saying that it feels like that. But, you know.
Glad you recorded that.
So from the nervous system perspective, what we say is, I'm not hitting threshold. Because to hit threshold means something has to come into conscious awareness also. I have to actually admit that I'm threatened by the wall color, right? What's happening here? If I actually come into contact with it, it's like, I just feel under threat and I can't tell you why. It's like, okay, how do you complete that? You know? And in the early days of like, you know, Gestalt and like Reiki and therapy, it was like act it, like whack things, run it, do the Iron Man course, like move it, punch things, which I think is pretty good, except that, and this is really the perspective from organic intelligence, it appears that in the nervous system, to complete sympathetic nervous system activation in the body, it seems to be that it gets difficult here to say what is being conscious of what, but something in my being needs to be consciously aware of the process of completing it such that no steps are skipped. And this really comes down to speed. What we in the end observed, I'm saying we as a representative of a lineage, I haven't been in it for long enough to observe this over time. This is people who've been doing this for 40 years, started to observe that folks who did the big, cathartic, and fast playing out of those things, it didn't reset the system. They either had to do it over and over and over, or they enjoyed doing it, so then it seemed like, but it wasn't actually landing. They didn't actually calm down, ultimately, in a deeper way. When folks started practicing, the way that we'll do it in organic intelligence sometimes is when it feels like that energy is kind of approaching threshold. One of the things I'll do, this comes from the somatic experiencing part of the lineage, is let's say we find it in the arm. I'm not going to have someone punch because it goes too fast. Okay. And it's a little bit like it'll hit threshold, but it kind of burns up the energy, and now I don't have access to it. You know? And so then what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to give them some resistance, and I'm going to slow it down, and so that I'm actually going about this speed. And what it's going to do is my nervous system actually has a chance to track the process that it's going through. And tracking really means like, oh, yeah, this feels good, this feels good, this feels good. Actually, I'm afraid. And if I go fast, I'm going to miss that, right? Or it feels good, it feels good, it feels good, but actually it's too much energy for me to deal with and I'm starting to space out. And so going slowly means we're going to get to modulate it to meet what the system can do. And if we get it right, and that's the whole thing in this modality, I'm sorry to tell you that it's the model is simple, but the practice is a little challenging in its subtlety. Because you keep trying to get it right, sort of attunement-wise. But if you get it right, which means you're going to hit the right threshold, and I'll tell you about stacks of thresholds in a minute, you hit the right threshold, what you're doing is the nervous system actually connects the entire sequence. And if we remember the cause in the first place, the trauma that initiated this was that a self-protective gesture, a motor plan, assembled in the body but did not complete somehow. And so one of the things that the nervous system wants is the feeling of completion. And to get completion, part of what we need to do is we need to stitch together experiences that were fragmented by the trauma. Right? Suddenly everything was swirling around me and the fight was beginning. I don't know quite how I got there, but this guy was coming at me. And the next thing I remember, I was on the ground. Right? The stitching together process is actually going to be to slow it way down to be like, you know, what was it like? Just the moment you could feel it turning toward the fight. It's like, oh, da, 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 da. And there's going to be a wave of activation with that. Stop there. Process that. Next step. And if we actually get to the self-protective gesture, ideally, we've stitched together the whole sequence that got to that. And what we're doing is we're unbinding dissociation from the body, right? Like, oh, it was too scary, I dissociated. Slow down. Oh, it was scary, can you hang out with the fear? Yes, I can. Cool. We reassociated that part. Then we go on. And until what we get in the end is a continuous line of feeling that's being remembered or reintegrated. So then we do it slowly. Slowly until full completion, and the way we do this physically is to get all the way out to the locked joint. And what seems to happen there is that like the system does the motor plan, or some as close as we can get to the motor plan it wanted to do, finishes it, is affirmed in the finishing of it by having response, and then gets to release, and then process the state afterward, which will be like heat and shaking and all that. And the hard part about this is it sounds great if we could do this in one session, but actually this happens in dribs and drabs chaotically over the course of a year. Mm-hmm. Darn. But there are these pinnacle moments where it's like all the conditions assemble and it's like, we can do this. You know, what were you going to say?
You might have answered it, but what I was going to ask is, because I heard you say this yesterday too, like something happened once upon a time. Mm-hmm. And didn't go all the way, mm-hmm. like got interrupted.
Yep.
So I was going to say, is there an example of that? And then you like you relive it, if you will, or you re-experience it mm-hmm. to have it be all the way, yeah. And thus it's finally complete.
Yeah.
Which totally resonates. Like I'm walking around going, man, am I not supposed to be rid of this by now? And I feel not all the way completely quote healed or whatever. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to propose that completely rid of it is equal to enlightenment. Mm. Because that's the end of karma. So
well, that's so another
no blame,
thing that I say
but,
to myself, is that I am, that it's always an ING, always, yeah. You know, evolving, mm-hmm. growing, learning, healing.
Yeah.
And I'm curious about
completion.
Or clearing some stuff that still is mm-hmm. buried, whatever.
Yeah. Here's what I say about the possibility of full completion. It seems like it's forever in process, which I think is probably the right way to think about it. Remember that the Buddha says that before he got enlightened, he worked on perfecting his qualities for, 100,000 eons of cosmic time, gazillions of lifetimes. of working on patience and generosity and kindness and wisdom. So no rush, right? You're somewhere in the middle of that stretch. Good going, you know, carry on. But completion seems possible. And I think of completion or liberation in this way. And for those of you who've heard me say this a dozen times, you can tune out this part if you want. I think of it as a developmental process. And so think about the thing you were super into when you were 12. You know, I was super into The Lord of the Rings and this Japanese sci-fi TV show called Robotech, and things of that ilk. That was my jam. And a little later, it was Doctor Who. So I was super into kind of sci-fi and those things. It doesn't matter what it is for you, right? But the point being, that was a state, and that was the object of my grasping. And I was so all about that. They were the most important things in the world. I read The Lord of the Rings 12 times in a row, contiguously. I kept check marks in the book, you know. Partly because I didn't want to leave that world and re-enter this one. So that's fine. Developmental phase, no problem. But the thing that I'm really pointing to is that there was a state where I couldn't have done it otherwise. I was fully bound in with that thing. And I did not practice toward liberation yet, consciously. I tried consciously doing that later on, but at the time, I'm 12, I'm just reading. But something happened at some point. I stopped reading it, and I went on to something else. And when I went on to something else, in a certain way, you know, like for a while, I just jumped to another thing. Like I went from Lord of the Rings to Doctor Who, but it was the same state. I collected every single episode of Doctor Who from 1963 to 1984 or so on VHS tapes, categorically ordered on a shelf in my closet. Okay? A little OCD, not too bad, but you know. So I was super into that. And there was a moment when I was just like, oh, it's over. Like, I was just no longer interested in it. And I said to a friend of mine who was still interested, I was like, do you want my collection? And he was like, dude. And I was like, it's yours, man. I've seen them all. Like, enough. You know? And I never wanted to watch it again. And so it's like, well, what happened there? You could say, like, well, you were a teenager. You grew up. Right? But that's the whole point. What if the Buddha is just the most mature human being? Like, the only adult in the room. Or on the spectrum of youth to adulthood, full enlightenment is the absolute of adulthood. And the definition of adulthood is something like, you know, like, what does maturity mean? Like wisdom, clarity, non-denial about the world, right? Like, understanding how things work, having some facility in response to them. That's maturity. So what if that's it? And, like, I'm enlightened in relation to Doctor Who, which just means I'm not grasping it. I'm not bound by it. Nothing in that world hooks me in a grasping way. Right? I can see an episode playing in the shop corner. I don't need to watch it. Right? I'm not aversive. I'm not grasping. That's freedom in relation to it. So what if that's true about, you know, like the band or the thing you listen to when you're 12? What if that's true about, like, you know, something deeper to your heart, like your first love? Let's say you've had several loves. I don't know if that's true, but what if it was? You know? Your first love, I gotta bet, if we're gonna use that word for it, that you were really into them in whatever way, whatever your particular drama around love and connection was. It was a thing. And if it's the case that you're still with them, then that's awesome, brilliant. Undoubtedly, that has evolved over time. But if it's the case that it was your first love and you're now not with them, and you're not obsessed by them, like, I also imagine that the person you were obsessed by at 15, you're not still obsessed by in that way. You know? Oh my God, he looked at me. Should I look back? Oh, I smile weird. Ah! Right? That's what it felt like. It still feels like that sometimes.
We have no idea what you're talking about.
You have no idea what I'm talking about. So that's a state, right? And we would say in Buddhist language or in yogic language, that's a state of suffering. It's embedded in grasping. And it has a beauty to it. Like, you know, and our culture loves that state. Like, we never make movies about what happens 20 years later. Right. It's just about that moment, right? But that's suffering. It's grasping. And liberation in relation to that thing is letting go. And so the proposition is, if you can do that with a television show and with your first love, what if you could do that with everything that hooks your heart? Every last thing. The way that you're still trying to complete the attachment rupture that happened with your mom when you were one, and you don't even know that that's what it is, but you're just a little bit afraid of everything or angry with everything. Or like, what if you could complete everything? And then what would it feel like to be alive, to be a human being? You know, I remember a moment when I realized that immersing myself essentially in anti-capitalist propaganda or education and really working and really kind of hanging out with non-materialistic hippies for a long time had gelled in me, and I had come past the point of hating the commercial world to a point of not really caring about it. And I remember at one moment I was driving into San Francisco from the Bay Bridge, and there's all those huge billboards for a little while. And for a while, they're very tech nowadays, but once upon a time they were more fashion. And it was like pretty people wearing pretty stuff. Bling, 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 bling. And I remember a moment of driving, seeing the billboard, registering that it was an attractive person wearing attractive clothing, and even registering that aesthetically that was pleasurable, and even registering that I was sexually attracted to the image of the model. And instantly seeing that just like dissolve like a puff of steam and be like, nothing in me needs to go toward that, even though I recognize that the charge is built in. Like, I'm still human, I'm attracted to pretty bodies of all sorts, and there are some, and they know that, because that's why they're there. It costs a lot to put them up there. And what they are depending on is that they hook me such that I go, unconsciously, sexy person, maybe I should shop at Banana Republic more. And it only really works if it actually takes me there and I swipe. But if I do the thing, if I've practiced and I've seen, I've been mindful, what it really means is that I hit threshold kind of instantly with it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, nowadays I see that kind of thing and I have this little thing that I've sort of built in my mind that goes, you know, whoever you are, model person there who I think is sexy, may you have a happy, great life. That's it, you know, and like whatever my response is to your image being up there, like I hope you're being well paid and well taken care of and happy. There's nothing else I want to do with it. Yeah. And if that is stable, then I'm liberated in relation to that thing, you know. And then if that could be stable in relation to everything, including your sense of being a self as different or separate or isolated from others, then we're talking about a profound liberation. And we're really talking about the end of trauma in that regard. Yeah? So whose question was that in response to? That was something, but Marianne, yeah. So that was the thread from that.
Like,
good going. That's okay, I got this great drink. It tastes so good. And you know, this guy is saying good stuff. Like, it's good. It's good, we're chilling. So let's talk a little more about threshold. Threshold, we were talking about processing emotion. So something wants to come to completion. This was all an answer to a question about completion. What this means therapeutically and in practice, and let's say in yoga practice, contemplative practice, but also in healing work, is that if there's something that's binding the system, you know, something that's fixated, so the result of trauma, fixated anger, fixated fear, fixated shutdown, that quality has to hit threshold before it will deactivate. And very often that means it has to intensify a little bit from where it is. So the dance is this. Here's my resting state of being angry. If I intensify it just enough with the right conditions, I will feel it, and I can practice feeling it in such a way that it actually mobilizes in my physicality, in my body. All of this is bodily, really. So even saying emotion really means it's mostly body. Mobilize it in the body with enough safety and containment that I'm not afraid of it. Like, I'm willing to be this angry. Because other times, I don't feel safe enough to be that angry. So I'm going to stay simmering. So I get with my therapist, or I get with my friend, or I come to just the right yoga class where I know I can do it. And I push and I activate. And suddenly, I have more energy in my system. I can feel that I'm angry. And there's a point that is hard to feel for yourself. It's easier to see in others. Where it hits the sweet spot. Where it's like, yeah. And it hits that, and it'll hit it and drop. And what'll happen is, like, you know, it's so hard to sort of make up examples for this. And so I sort of pull on things I've done with clients. But it's so different every time. There's a few things that can happen. In OI, we define a set of, like, three ways that it can go wrong. The three ways that it can go wrong are that it cannot hit threshold. This is really the common situation of being stuck, right? I can't actually get there, so I stay simmering. A different error is going over threshold, right? I end up in something that's like big and cathartic, but disorganizing. I go too far.
Similar to going too fast, or
totally too fast often is an over threshold maneuver. Okay. Yeah, same. And then the third. And this one's subtle, not completing deactivation. Mm-hmm. So here I am angry. What I need to do is hit a certain amount of anger, and that threshold is basically going to be determined by my ability to stay present with conscious witnessing, mm-hmm. my ability to be mindful of something. So, like, if I suddenly get too angry, I go over a threshold, that's pretty much the same as dissociating, right? I can't track it, therefore I'm going to kind of check out a little bit, you know? You know, it's like, oh, I'm so mad at my dad for how I grew up. And, you know, oh my God, tell me about that. Like, what, you know, what happened? Like, what was so bad? Oh, I can't even really talk about it. I kind of just, like, fogged out when you were saying that. Right? It's over threshold. We were already at threshold. I missed it. I asked a question that would increase activation. And it went over threshold into, like, gone. Right? So, like, oops, sorry, went too far. You know, now we just have to chill out and wait for it to settle again. You know, it's sort of like, it's like that. You don't need a metaphor for it. You know what that feels like. So that's over threshold, not hitting threshold. You know, oh, I'm so mad at my dad for, like, how I grew up. What was that like? Well, I just kind of was like, stuff kept happening. It's like, well, what was it? I'm like, well, I don't know. You know, it was kind of just stuff. Like, oh, geez, I don't know. Like there's frustration, but it's not nailing it. Hitting threshold, it was something like, I'm so mad. What happened? Oh my God, there was this time when this thing happened. He did this thing. Like, oh, I'm like, what did that feel like? Oh, I was so mad. It was just like, oh, oh. And I was like, what happens if you just hang out with that? And they're just like, oh. Ooh. Jeez. Man, that was rough. Ugh. You know, it's like it hits a spot and then it's kind of shake out. And the result, if you do that, is going to be a kind of discharge, like, oh, it lands, and then a reorientation, right? Oh, whew, yeah, wow, shit, man, that's still in there. All right, cool, yep, still mad, you know, and humor will come, and very often meaning will come. Oh, man. And like, what's it like? Even just like retasting that for a minute. Like, oh man, like I can so feel how that, like, it's just a part of how I move through the world. It's like, yeah, ouch. you know. Like all of this, this isn't just banter. Like this is all like what I want to say, the thing that will lift the system to the threshold, but not go over, and then help it land. And so I think instinctively we do this, let's say, take a practice like yoga, our topic today sort of. Like I think we do this naturally in yoga. Think about things like, you know, you work up to a peak, like a class where like you work up to a difficult pose that really gels some quality of strength or balance or focus or something. And then you kind of land from there. Or even within a single pose. You know what it's like to like, you're assembling toward a pose. I'll take a hard pose. I'm going to do like revolved warrior three. So it's like, okay, I'm organizing myself toward it. I'm relaxing. I'm focusing. I'm attending to alignment. Then I'm beginning the sequence and there's a little increase in activation. And then I'm orienting and I'm focusing. And what I'm doing so far is I'm trying to keep my ability to focus and stay with energy attuned to what I'm doing. If what I'm doing is too much energy for my ability to stay mindful, I'm going to lose balance or check out. And so what I want to track from inside is not doing that. So I'm like, okay, am I still with it? I am. I come in and I'm attending to different things, and now I'm going to shift into the hard part, right? And focus increases, and there's an increase in activation until I reach what is sort of, you know, wherever I'm going to go for today. Call it that. And now I'm holding it, and activation is increasing. And I'm applying focus and some, I'm giving it energy. And I'm not quite at threshold with it, so I'm going to make it a little harder for myself. And that was threshold. So that was going a little too far, so I'm going to re-enter, because I want to find completion on this thing. And what would completion feel like? Completion today feels like and then I'm going to come out. And coming out, my system is vibrating and hot, but it's also on the downslope in a way where I don't feel like I missed something at the top. And the moment of threshold for me wasn't actually the moment of like having to balance. And it wasn't even the moment where I applied some will to balance. But I applied will, and the activation increased, and then it came into focus somehow. And I invited a softer drishti. And all that's technical yoga stuff, and it's just my personal style, and it could be different for you completely. But what happened was, somehow for me today, I hit what was like the gelling or peak moment of that thing. And I knew it when I felt it. And once I felt it, you can hang out there for a few moments, but you don't need to hang out there long. The thing was to hit it, and then I softened out. And so I think we do this naturally, you know, and I'm sort of just making explicit something that I think as experienced yogis, lots of us do this kind of automatically. But this is this principle of threshold, and you know what it feels like if the class is like too simple or too slow or to whatever, not quite right for you on a given day, and you're not hitting threshold in it. You know what it's like when the class puts you over threshold, and you're more disorganized. And you know what it's like when the class has been super awesome, but somehow you don't really land it at the end. Like, the teacher went too long, or the shavasana wasn't long enough, or somehow you came out and you're still, like, not quite back. Mm-hmm. And so, like, part of, I think, you know, being trauma sensitive is in all that stuff we talked about in the morning, all that languaging and all that. Part of it is in a deeper way. All of that is just sort of like the baseline. Don't hurt people. This is now, if I want something to really help or heal, the thing that heals is the system hitting threshold and fully deactivating. Mm-hmm. And then actually dropping out of that sympathetic state or out of the freeze state back toward its kind of homeostatic state. resting state, or a more healthy oscillation. Thoughts and questions on that? Other things? Yeah, Michael.
I think the energy of completion is really interesting because I think it happens in so many different places. I think about social cues. So, like, you know, the people that they don't pick up on the energy of, like, this group conversation is kind of over and they just keep talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then it sort of like it crosses over completion into awkwardness.
Right.
And then trailing away.
It goes over threshold.
Yeah.
Yep.
The other thing, even like yesterday's class, I felt like you encouraged us to get to completion on an individual basis.
Yeah.
So that it felt like the practice was whole, both for the group and for each individual within it. So mm-hmm. it was like helping to like attune to that energy.
Yeah.
Which I guess is more just commentary. The question that I had around this is that from personal experience that I had with therapy was that I guess there's two things. It's almost like the energy you're adding makes me think about if your low-level state is anger,
mm-hmm.
but that's how it is all the time. It becomes like the water.
Mm-hmm.
So heating up the water, changing the state of the water somehow so that you actually notice, like, oh my God, like,
yep.
there's anger here and I just haven't seen it.
Yep.
I think the challenge that I had for a very long time was that I would notice
mm-hmm.
and I would be in the feelings, and the moment I would step into the therapy room, the therapy setting, I would mm-hmm. completely, like, I would go numb.
Mm. Yeah.
And I don't know if other people have experienced that.
What do you think? What would you call the sort of condition that caused that, or what was the reason for that?
I must not have felt safe.
That's my guess.
But I didn't feel safe in general, but it's like, why did the place that, was I scared of hitting threshold, maybe? I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't have known any of this stuff
sure.
at the time.
Sure. I mean, if your subconscious knows that healing is going to mean feeling, why would I want that?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm doing this thing that is, and in all sorts of sort of, you know, psychologically complex ways, I'm doing these things that will make it look like I'm doing my healing work, when in fact I'm avoiding doing them, even if I'm paying for them or like whatever, right?
Like years and so much money.
I'm so sorry. But I know the feeling.
So I think a lot of people do that, but I mean,
we totally do it. And so it's, one of the amazing things about it is that the therapy can still be working even though you're doing that. But we totally do that. I've totally done that. You know, there's some amount of it that, especially if we do it in the context of like yoga or meditation, you know, becomes a kind of spiritual bypass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm the super spiritual dude because I sit hella retreats. I sit hella retreats because I really like being left alone and not talked to for 2 months. You know, and I crave liberation. But I spend most of those retreats kind of anxious and depressed, shut down. But it was good training. And like, okay, it might not have been the best intervention for me, but it was the best thing I found. And it trained me to notice things. Like, almost in spite of myself, I learned to be mindful. It's not, I could only sit there checked out for so long before I heard the instruction, notice how you're feeling, notice how you're feeling, notice how you're feeling, notice how you're feeling, to finally be like, I'm not feeling fucking anything, people, stop yelling at me. Oh, wait. That was a feeling. I got mad. Check me out. I got a little mad. Wow. I'm not mad. Oh, I'm mad. This is going to be work, you know, and yeah, and so like, I don't know. It may well have still been a good place for you. It may not have been. You know, who knows? But very much that. What in the end didn't do that? Like you talked about having like these like, you know, moments of pause, which is so good, right? It's like I'm just gonna have a pause from freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
Take a break from freaking out. Mm-hmm. Were there formal modalities of working that felt like they gave enough of that safe space or kind of container for you to work in?
My inclination is to say that what happened was I did get to a point where I got I was so sick of how many years had gone by with that state that I became like, it was almost like the state that changed was I got mad at the freaking out. It's like the desperation began to rise.
Right. So actually, you hit threshold on that given state. You got frustrated at not moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing actually bumped your state up to threshold.
Yes.
Such that you could do something else. A different kind of activity was available for you.
Which I think was grace.
Yeah.
When I look back on it, there was a hypnotist, which I thought was stupid, who drove a stupid car around town with a big dumb sign on it.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that I lived in an apartment complex where he lived. And like a month before I moved, I went to the pool, which I never did. It was the only time I ever went to the pool in my apartment complex. And the only chair open was beside him. So I sat beside him. We started talking. He said, you know, do you want to try it? And I was like, oh yeah, I noticed your car. And that was the thing that flipped the switch. And I cannot explain it because I thought it was so stupid. And even when I experienced it, I had a minor anxiety attack when I got too deep, but I still don't understand what happened, other than it was like he reached in and flipped a switch. It was divine intervention.
Yeah.
That maybe it's like I've been pounding on the door long enough that it was like, okay.
You know, it might just be useful to blame the really dorky guy for your moment of shift, of tipping point, that you'd been preparing for years.
Mm-hmm.
It might actually be safer to externalize it onto him with a, you know, and then blame him for being dorky and not know why it happened. But, you know, it actually doesn't matter whether it was him or you,
right,
or the divine.
Yeah.
The point is that you that a switch was flipped.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and in a certain way it's great that he was, you know, so aesthetically unappealing to you, because that might actually have preserved an aspect of superiority in yourself that would make you less vulnerable, different from the therapist. And like, I don't even believe in your modality, so like, whatever, like hypnotist with a bad car, you know. and in a way that's like, you know, my ego feels safe here.
There was nothing to lose.
There's nothing to lose. If it, of course it's not going to work. This guy is a dork.
Right.
You know?
I'm so much cooler
than this guy.
But it's like, if you have an attractive therapist, which my first one was in college, and it was like...
Don't have an attractive therapist.
No. This is going to be difficult.
Yeah. Totally.
Huh.
There you go.